lesson six here in your books. We're dealing with the victory of the world. Anybody need a book, by the way?
Anyone.
Brother Scott needs one. Amen. All right. Anybody else need a book? Yes, ma'am. Let me pass one back to her. All right. Anybody else need a book? Victory over the world is the topic. It is the subject matter. We started that introduction last week. Victory over the world. The focus is on the pull the world often has on us and how to get the victory over that pull. Amen. By the way, the world will have a pull on your flesh. Already submit to that. You know, you got to submit to that early on. And say, the world will have a pull of my flesh. Because if you say it won't, you're lying to yourself. Amen. It will have a pull. So you've got to admit that. Amen. Now, I want to discuss something here. Because let's go back to where we were at last week. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. The primary thing to this, you've got to submit to the fact that this is true. That the world has a pull on your flesh. 1 John chapter 5, and we covered these verses last week. They're in your book as well. And notice starting in verse number 1, he says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. By the way, the commandments give us the victory over the world. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so he says, you're going to keep the commandments, that's going to give you the victory over the world, and it's going to come by your faith in the word. To get the victory over the world, okay? Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And so we covered those verses last week, and I want to discuss this. How is the world changing to attract our flesh more? How is the world changing? Now remember, the world is the system that Satan has that attracts our flesh. But now, how is that satanic system called the world changing to attract our flesh? How's that happening? How's it changing? Brother Scott?
Women's dress is more provocative.
Women's dress is more provocative. That is one thing. Amen. Yes. Diana?
Church services, they're appealing more and more to fleshly things, like in the music. They're preaching, you know, oh, you're okay, everything's fine, God loves you.
Amen. Amen.
That pulls us away from good churches to go to that to appeal, and Satan attracts people that way.
Amen. And it's by the flesh.
And they think that they're okay because they're in church.
Amen. Amen. And that's true. What's not, some other ways the world is changing to attract our flesh? Kim?
The access to internet and just the availability is just right there, and it puts out a lot of bad.
Amen. And I think that's one of the key ways that the world is changing. The technology that we have now is luring more people in undisclosed ways. So now I can have my phone in the privacy of my own home. I can have my PC in my office, and I can have all these things privately, and nobody actually knows that I'm actually dabbling in the world. And you think that I'm okay because I'm in church, but in my closed doors, I'm dabbling in the world electronically. And I think that is one of the key ways that the world is changing to attract our flesh. Yeah, Sam?
Along with that, the same access is available to our children. In our house, they may have a device, and we may have it somewhat protected, but when they go to the parks, their friends may have a device that's not at all protected. When they go to school, when they go to even a church where people are watching, and someone else may bring a device that's not at all protected. Our children know how to work with that better.
Amen. Amen. And on that note as well, television, the cartoons, it's not Bugs Bunny, you know, and Roadrunner like it used to be back in the days. They're sending some serious messages through the cartoons, through these, what do you call that, Sam, that the that Pokemon business. What is that? Yeah, all the and they're all these Chinese, Japanese originated type things where you can you know change from this goon into a big goon and just, it's not just cartoons like it used to be, and so you know the world is changing and sucking us in and indoctrinating children a lot earlier now than they ever did before. You know, instead of just cat and mouse games where you know Tom chases Jerry, they've got agendas with these cartoons now. Now, you can have your own little magical friend who turns to protect you and all this other kind of stuff. And so the world is changing. It really is. And so because the world is changing, now that endangers us a little bit more and our children a little bit more. What are some other ways the world is changing? Yeah, Diana?
Mm-hmm. And it makes me think of Sodom, you know.
Yes.
Anything went, it was good, and that attracts people because there's no judgment.
Amen. Now, what's the big thing now? They're on North Carolina about giving in to the lesbian, gay, and bisexual genre, or they're going to ban the NBA and all this stuff from there, and it's just a big.
Yeah. We're not going to have the transgender bathrooms.
Yeah. So now North Carolina's in a hot spot now. What do we do? Do we give in because economically we want the money, or do we keep our moral stand? And that's the big, I mean, it's on all the sports channels now. North Carolina's the bad egg because they don't want to give in to lesbian and gay and transgender bathrooms. They don't want boys and girls, using the same bathroom. And so North Carolina has stood up against that. And now everybody's blackballing them. Then we're going to take our money out of there. We're not going to fund you then. We're going to take these things out. And, you know, and this is the part that I hate. They're trying to say it's a civil rights issue. That's a moral issue. It's not a civil rights issue is the color of the skin that you were born with. That's you know, you can't change the skin you were born with. The moral choices you can change. You know, and they want to say this is a civil rights issue. This is not a civil rights issue. You know, it's not about the color you were born with, the color of your skin. This is a moral choice that you're making. And so it's just ugly. And so the world is changing. It really is. And so when you look at this, the world is changing to attract our flesh. And they're trying to brainwash all these people to believe that this is true. Now, with that said, there's something that we have to do to avoid the attraction of that to our flesh. And of course, that's in Romans chapter 8. Let's go over there real quick, because which means you and I have to do something if the world is changing. Romans 8, we have to change too. Romans chapter number 8. If the world is changing, that means that we should be changing too. But our change is going to be different. Romans 8 and verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be what? To be conformed to the image of his son. So we've got to be changing as well. If the world is changing to attract our flesh, we've got to change. And we've got to change to become more like Jesus Christ. So that if the world is changing to attract our flesh, we've got to change to now repel that attraction because it is there. It's so easy to say, well, yeah, I guess we want the money, so I guess we can just lower our standards. No, we're not going to lower our standards. We should keep the stand. He says that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, moreover whom he did predestinate. Then he also called, and whom he called, then he also justified. Whom he justified, then he also glorified. What should we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Praise God.
Praise the Lord for that, Pastor.
Hey, we've got to stand. If God is for us, then we've got to continue to say, no, world, we're not going to do it. We're not going to give in. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who should lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we've got to stand our ground, and we've got to be conformed to the image of Christ if the world is changing to attract us, which it is. It is. It is getting increasingly intrusive into our lives to attract our flesh. The only hold that Satan is going to have on you is to appeal to your flesh. If he can't get your flesh, he's going to get your mind.
Yes, sir, he is, Pastor, he is.
He's going to get your mind, which is the other side of that coin. So go over to Romans chapter 12. He wants to get your flesh, first of all. If he can't get your flesh, he's going to try to get your mind. Romans chapter 12. So if the world is changing, what is our goal? Our role is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And then our minds got to be renewed as well. I beseech you, therefore, verse 1. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, if I'm giving my body to the Lord Jesus Christ, guess who I'm not giving it to?
The world.
To the world. If I'm going to give it to the Lord, I'm not going to give it to the world. So he says, I present your bodies, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. I give it to God, and I don't give it to the world. And be not conformed to this world.
Yes.
Or don't be poured into the mold of this world. That's what it means. It means to be poured into the mold that they want to mold you by. He says, but be ye transformed by how? The renewing of your mind. So Satan is going to try to attract you by your flesh. If he can't get you by your flesh, he's going to try to attack your mind. How does he attack by your mind? Technology. Yes, sir.
It's like it's a downer because taking them away from what they really want to do, they got to be at work, but make some money so they can go back and
play these games.
And you've got a whole generation, I would say, from maybe 30 on down that is in
That's right.
So now the moral bar has been so lowered that if Christians are looking at that in any way as far as the moral bar, now they can descend so much lower than they could in generations past because we're almost at the bottom
And Serge brings up a good point because I found out in some of the marital counseling magazines from 20 years to 40, the average male is spending more time with videos than he's spending with his family. And it's becoming a source of marital disruption because from 20 to 40, they're spending so much time video gaming and spending money on the gaming that they don't have time for their families from 20 to 40. I'm thinking these are grown men. Who are spending this type of money gaming that they don't have time to spend with their families. That is bizarre. So it is becoming a very, very, very large epidemic. And not to mention how the kids get trapped in there with those things as well. Diana?
I think another thing that gets us into the world is, you know, as the world moves closer to sin, instead of the gap being further, Mm-hmm. We're still better than the world. I'm Amen. Still not doing what they're doing. Right. But I should still be here, and now I'm still right here, right behind
right.
them.
We're relaxing.
And as the world goes worse, mm-hmm. the Christian standards lower, even mm-hmm. though we're still higher than the world.
Right. So as you would say, we were right here, and the world was right there. Now the world has gone to that aisle, and so now we've come over to this aisle. And now this, when this owl goes over there, then we're going
to
go over here. And so we're just that much more wicked. And you're right.
But we think we're good because we're better than what the world
is. Yeah, we still don't do what they do. Amen. But we do something similar. Yes.
We have a good example of this down there in Mexico. In the little villages where we've gone through in the mountains, they didn't have electricity till about the time we came. And their hearts were very open. We've seen a tremendous amount of them trust Christ. But once electricity and electronics arrived, mm-hmm. we're seeing the youth depart away from mm-hmm. interest in God. And we have at least three villages where the young people have now become more rebellious, more headstrong, and the world is... The door of opportunity was open, but we can see it close as the electronic and the electrical
right.
convenience has come.
Amen. Amen. I think that is by far one of the biggest areas of influence that the world has changed to infiltrate and bring itself closer to us and to attract that flesh, whereas you didn't have that. Now you have that. And I think that is a key point there. And again, that verse in verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so the only way that you and I are going to be able to get this victory is make sure that our minds aren't being infiltrated by the world's philosophy, because it is all around us. It is pressing in. It is inundating us. It is on the television. It is everywhere. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so as the world is changing to attract our flesh, you and I have to be changing as well to repel that and to get away from that. And so we've got to walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Go back to Romans 8 and verse number 8. A good challenge verse for this very thought, because we know that the world attracts our flesh. And he says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot what? Cannot please God. And now the world, and we've got to get this in our minds. The world's whole design is to attract your flesh. That's its whole design. It wants to attract your flesh. If it can attract your flesh, it's won. And that's why Satan sets the system there. Because our flesh is sinful and our flesh wants. That's why we have to be crucified with Christ. But then what? Risen again, walking in newness of life. And so we've got to have that mindset that, hey, my flesh is dead. I don't have to obey sin because the world wants to attract our flesh. Amen. So, of course, the victory is in allowing Jesus to live through the Spirit's power, crucifying the flesh, which is easier said than done. Now, remember, I gave you a review of some of the different designations for the world last week. The planet Earth was called the world where people live. It's called the world in Mark 16:15. The Roman Empire was considered the world. Greek culture was called the world. The world to come was also called the world. The people who live on Earth are called the world. But then the world system ruled by Satan is also called the world. So different designations of the world in the Bible, but the one that we're concerned about right now is the system that Satan has put out there that attracts our flesh. And so that's what we want to talk about. Go over to Luke chapter number 4. And let's look at Jesus when he was offered the world. Luke chapter number 4. We'll look at Jesus here just for a little bit, just to see what happened when Jesus was offered the world. Luke chapter 4. And let me get somebody to read verses 5 through 8. Who's got that? Luke 4, 5 through 8. Diana, go ahead.
Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve.
Okay. Now notice the offer that's given here. Okay. He takes him to a high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world in one moment of time. Okay. So that's worldliness. That's an attraction. That comes with power. That comes with might. That comes with prestige. He shows him all these kingdoms. And now just think about the logic of this. Why would the devil tempt him with something that's already his? Why would the devil tempt him with something that's already his? Because then is it already Jesus's?
Yes.
So why would he tempt him with something that he already has? Tasha?
Trying to get him to forego the plan that God has for him by giving him something. He doesn't exactly get to have it at that moment.
There you go. Trying to circumvent God's system. Mm-hmm. Get it now. Don't wait till later. And what's the end goal? What is Satan's end goal? If he can get Jesus to succumb to this.
Yeah.
There's no salvation. And what does Satan get out of the deal?
He gets all of us. Jesus will
worship him. Worship. Satan at the end of this, remember, there's the kingdom of God and there's the kingdom of the devil. And Satan wants more than anything to be worshiped like God. More than anything. That's why he set the kingdom of the world up there. Because if the kingdom is up there, guess what we do when we get involved in the system? We're bowing to him. We're worshiping him. And then what does God get? God doesn't get anything. And so Satan has got this whole system of the world up there. And his whole goal is, if you get involved in my system, you're worshiping this way. And where is God? That way. And if I'm worshiping this way, my back is towards who? He who saved me.
Yeah, that's right.
And what does Satan do then? He goes like this. See, I got more than you. I said that I would be worshipped and I am being worshipped. At the end of this agreement here, all of this was going to be Jesus' anyway. But it wasn't his time. And so Satan says, if you just do this, all I want is just some of your worship. That's all I want. And so you and I get involved in the world, when our children get involved in the world, Satan gets part of that worship, which means for a moment, we've got to turn our backs on God. And Satan is getting the upper hand. Yes, sir, you say something? Is out the window. And now, and at the height of this, what is the first command? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down to them. So now if he's bowing down and worshiping Satan, there we are. So he says, the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee in glory of them that is delivered unto me, to whomsoever I will give it. Is he true? Yeah, that is true.
Yep.
Thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. What did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan. It's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So when Jesus is delivered this ultimatum, he rejects it with the word of God. And so that's why you and I have to have our minds renewed so that we don't give in. Because when we do give in, we circumvent the system. And we're worshiping Satan. And again, now, do we have help? Yes, we do. Go to Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. Do we have help? Yes, we have help.
Amen.
God's not going to leave us on our own. Again, Satan has the world out there, the world where our flesh is attracted by the world. Everything in the world attracts our flesh. Hebrews 2:18. And notice what it says down there in verse number 17. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make a reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor or help them that are tempted. So Jesus Christ then can help us because he was tempted. And guess what? He did not fall. So we know that when we get in these tempting situations, when the world wants to get us and take us, we have someone who is actually on our side, who is an advocate for us, who is helping us. Now, let's bring in another interjectory thought. Is everything in the world evil? Is everything in the world evil? No.
No.
Was it evil for Jesus to have the kingdoms of the world? They're going to be his anyway. So no, it's not evil. What was evil was the one presenting them to him and the time he was presenting him to prevent him from doing that which God wanted him to do. And again, the world's whole goal is to get you not to do the will of God. That's the whole goal of the will of the world, to get you not to do the will of God. If the world can get you not to do the will of God, it has won. And so everything in the world is not evil. And the devil knows everything in the world is not evil. But if he can use the world to get you not to do the will of God when you should do it, then he has won. And we have fallen to that worship. Much in the world can be used to take us away from the will of God for our lives that we know. Jesus used the things in the world. He used a fish, he used a boat, houses, donkeys, food, etc. You and I need to use discernment when it comes to the world. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 with me. Show you a great verse here in regards to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Again, everything in the world is not sin.
Right.
1 Corinthians 3 and 21. Let me get someone to read verses 21 to 23. Who's got 1 Corinthians 3, 21 through 23? Who's got that? Go ahead, Deb. Okay,
amen.
So Paul makes a statement there, you know, hey, everything pretty much is yours. You have access to all. So just like Satan said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. We have access to everything, according to that verse. He said, all things are yours. You have it all. But does that mean that we should use it all? Does that mean it's all available to us? Does that mean it's all good for us? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But all things are ours. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 then, and I'll show you the counter to this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and this is talking about marriage and remarriage, but there's a great verse in here. Notice what he says down here in verse number 29. He's talking about marrying and how when you get married, you have to use the things of the world and things like that. He says, verse 29, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. And notice verse 31. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. So he lets you know right there that there are certain things in the world that we can use, but our goal is not to abuse anything in the world. As not abusing it. He says, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord. I may please the Lord. So he says, the things that are in the world are there. Notice verse 33. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the what? World. How he may please his wife. So that means if I have a wife, then I have to concern myself with certain things of the world. So that means that everything in the world is not sinful. So now how can I discern what's in the world that's not sinful and what is sinful? That which takes me from the will of God is then sin for me. And so I can't abuse the world. I can use the world. And if I'm married, for sure, I've got to use the world to please my spouse. I understand that. And so he's just letting us know that there's certain things in the world that you and I can use. So now, how do I get this type of a victory? I'm glad you asked. Let's go back to where we started last week, Matthew 22 and verse 36. Matthew 22 and verse 36. So we have to come to that realization. Not everything in the world is sin. We are going to have to use some things in the world. But now how do we balance this thing out? And you're going to find out the same way Jesus balanced it out when he was approached by Satan. Matthew 22, verse 36. Did I get that one right this time? Last week I got it wrong. Okay, yeah, verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Is that pretty much what Jesus told Satan in a nutshell? Yes.
Yes, sir.
Him only shalt thou serve. And so now if I understand that concept when it comes to the world, that's going to help me and aid me greatly. Now notice the second part of the concept, verse 39. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so now I'm to love my brother or my sister. And so those two things are going to help me to discern what I can use in the world, what I shouldn't use in the world, when I should use it and when I should not use it. And that's going to do me a great deal of service. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. So go to your books here and let's look at your lesson theme once again. And you are on page
36.
Is it 36? Your lesson theme. Yeah, 35 at the bottom. Because we covered the memory verse last week. We covered the overview. Let's go in now and look at your lesson theme. Gaining victory over the world system that operates in opposition to God requires real growth and real faith. And let's just talk about that thought for a moment. Why would the victory over the world system require me to have a real faith and a growing faith? Why is it going to cause me to have a real faith and a growing faith? Why? Serge? Not growing, I'm going to become ensnared. I'm not going to be able to come. What other reason? What was the main premise that we started all this with? What is the world doing? Is the world growing and changing?
Yes, it is.
Yes. So if I'm not growing and changing, what's going to happen? The world's going to engulf me.
Yes, sir, it is.
It's going to take me in its mindset, in its mentality. It's going to totally swallow me up because it's changing and its mindset and its mentality is becoming so easily acceptable. And everybody around me is accepting it now, so why don't I just accept it too? And the technology is changing so much now, it's infiltrating everything that we have. The messages are coming across the television. The sitcoms are all lesbian, gay, bisexual, you know, sitcoms that are, everybody's now got a husband, everybody's got a wife, two wives over here, two husbands over here, and so it's now inundating me.
Yeah.
And so if I don't have a growing faith and a real faith, I'm going to get swallowed up.
Yes, sir.
And so it behooves me, because the world is changing, to find the better ways to be conformed to the image of Christ by the word of God. Amen. So let me give you some blanks to fill in here, and then we're going to go on and quit here in just a minute. All right, so let's go over here to your page here. Let's see here. By the way, they've got some lesson goals here. They say the lesson goals are these. Number one, describe. You should be able to describe the process by which Christians are drawn away by the world. And of course, we know that's by our flesh. And then identify how faith in God's purpose is built and strengthened. Again, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Then it says you should understand the relationship between the scriptures and your faith. Amen. And then list the characteristics of God that give us victory over the world. So all that you should be able to know by the time we get done with this lesson. So let's fill in some blanks here. Let me give you Roman numeral one is faith in God's purpose. Faith in God's purpose. A is God's purpose is according to his timetable. God's purpose is according to his timetable. B, God's purpose is always trustworthy. God's purpose is always trustworthy. All right, so faith in God's purpose is Roman number one. God's purpose is according to his timetable. And then B, God's purpose is always trustworthy. All right. So let's go into the beginning of this one. Amen. It says here in the book, what does it mean when we talk about gaining victory over the world? So what does that actually mean? Gaining victory over the world. What does that mean? Gaining victory over the world. What does that mean? In a nutshell, what does that mean? If I gain victory over the world, what does that mean? Serge? not succumbing to its philosophies, not being taken by what they do, not being sucked in and believing what they say. By the way, they will tell you a whole lot of things. By the way, I've got a one of the videos I'm going to show on Sam Davis down the road here is one on spanking. You know, the world says you shouldn't spank your children. After you listen to this video, I think you might change your mind. Because God says a whole lot about spanking. Now, the world says, no, don't spank because you'll warp their mentality. You'll warp this, you'll warp that. And if you don't spank them, guess what? They will ruin your life. They will ruin your life. They will rule you. Amen. I'm just saying. I got spanked when I was a kid. I know some folks say, well, I got spanked, and look, I turned out like a moron. You know, your parents probably didn't spank you right. Amen. But if you spank biblically, and then, you know, he talks about spanking biblically. He talks about how to spank, when to spank, why to spank, where to spank, where not to spank. I mean, he talks about the whole nine yards. And, I mean, that blessed my heart. I mean, it really taught me a whole lot. And so the world will teach you a whole lot of things. So you got to really be careful. Gaining victory over the world. Amen. The world, of course, is the cosmos is the Greek word, which means decorative things. And it's dealing with the satanic world system. And it's the human affairs that are opposing God and God's will. And again, it is that system that takes you away from doing what God wants you to do. Okay. And that is not good. Amen. So Satan's system designed to keep you from doing the will of God is what the world is. And so if you and I are gaining victory over the world, that means we are doing the will of God despite what Satan is throwing at us. Amen. Despite that. Amen. By the way, it's not hard for us to realize that we see around us the world system is in opposition to the truth of God's word. Amen. It just is. It does not want to do what God wants us to do. The Christians in the early time had the same problem. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12. They had the same exact problem. By the way, the reason people abandon the things of God is age old. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12. Who's got that? Can read that for me. Bev, go ahead. Amen. And verse 16 too says?
Yet if any man will suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God on this behalf.
Amen. Now notice this statement here from the book. It says, there's nothing new. In the first century church, there were Christians who abandoned the things of God for the world. For some, it was to escape the shame and persecution of being a follower of Jesus Christ, which we just read in 1 Peter. Others were drawn away by the attractions of that world, what it has to offer. What Christian comes to mind that Paul wrote about that forsook him, loved this present world? John Mark was one. Who's another?
Demas.
Demas. Go over to 2 Timothy 4, 9 and 10. John Mark was one, but Demas was also one that he explicitly said this is what happened to him. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9. So some Christians fled from fear of persecution. Others fled for the world. Who's got 2 Timothy 4, 9 and 10? Read that for me. Somebody, anybody? I'm not there yet. Beth, go ahead. Amen. So he lets you know right there. Sometimes Christians are going to abandon Christianity because of the persecution, and they're going to go to the world. Others will be attracted by the world. Some just don't want the persecution. You know, I'm just getting beat for serving God. I mean, it's tough. I set out to read my Bible and start witnessing, and bad things started happening. You know, I told my coworkers about Christ and I got fired. You know, I went over here and told my family about Jesus Christ and I got ostracized. So I'm just going to stop that and go back to the world. So some people go to the world because of that. Others just go back because they're attracted by their flesh. And that's what happened to Demas. Amen. God's plan and design for us is to overcome the world and be victorious through Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that in the world, we're going to have what? Tribulation. Go to John 16. John 16. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. Now, if I'm going to have tribulation in the world, and I'm going to have tribulation as a Christian, I might as well just stay over and be, just be a Christian.
Amen.
And be a good Christian and suffer.
Amen.
Amen. John 16:33. Who's got that one? Read that before me. Somebody besides Beth. Amen. Yeah. Brianna?
These things I have spoken unto you, that in me
ye
might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Amen. He said, look, in the world you're going to have tribulation. So if the world attracts me out there, what's going to happen? I'm going to have a tough time.
Yes, sir.
So I might as well stay steadfast in the Lord. Because the minute I get attracted by my flesh into the world, I'm like a fish out of water.
Yeah.
I'm going to get beat down. Amen. By the way, you will. If you belong to God, you're going to suffer. You're not going to be happy. You're going to be miserable. Amen. And it's going to be bad for you. He said, you're going to have tribulation. If you step out in the world, it's going to be bad. If you don't, you don't belong to Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, why? In the world, I'm going to have tribulation. Tribulation means pressure, anguish, persecution, trouble, burdens. Why would I have tribulation in the world if I'm a Christian? Why would I have tribulation in the world? Why is it going to be tough?
Okay.
Exactly. I'm torn. I'm being pulled by Christ on this hand, and I'm being pulled by the flesh on this hand. So I'm being torn apart. So I'm going to be miserable because I know I don't belong here. And so I'm being pulled by the Spirit's call this way. The flesh is pulling me this way. I'm going to be absolutely. When you were unsaved, you had no problems being in the world. None.
Nope.
Now that you got saved, God's going to give you big problems with being in the world because he says you're not of the world. You're of God. You're of the Spirit now. And so it's going to be tough for you to try to do that. Yeah, you going to say something, Serge? Amen. Amen.
And so right now I'm just sucking it up and just giving it time to hopefully things will settle down. But if not, then I have to get my bosses involved in that as well. Otherwise, I'll bring corporate down here to an investigation and heads are going to roll.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And so, and it just so turns out that my little cubicle where I work is right in the middle of everything. We're rearranging our work area, and I'm right in the middle.
Hey.
Amen. They're coming from all sides.
Amen. And it's going to happen. I got it from my own family. My wife and I, we didn't work certain programs, and they said, oh, here come Greg and Carmen. You know, they got to watch their eyes. They can't see this. We better turn the TV down. Here they come. Better turn the music off. Here they come. You know, they don't like that kind of music. My own family did that to me. You know, and I what? What are you guys talking about? I said, yes, that's wicked music. I said, I don't want to hear all that cursing. I said, I got kids.
That's
you know, he got virgin ears now. I said, well, I'll tell you what's the truth. Amen. I said, well, if that's what you're going to do, praise the Lord. It's going to be tough. Well, amen. Let's leave you with this memory verse here, Romans 8:8. So then they that are in flesh cannot please God. Remember, the flesh is what God, what the devil is going to use to attract you to the world. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God is going to be our verse, Romans 8:8, for next week. Because that is what the devil's design is, to get you to fall by your flesh. And if you can't get your flesh, he's going to try to get your mind by the technology that is available. And he's going to use some form of technology to get your mind sucked into the world system. So you've got to protect your mind, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You don't want to be in the flesh, but in the spirit. And so we've got to walk in the spirit, not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Amen. We'll pick up with this next week. Romans 8:8 is our memory verse. Amen. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Bless now the refreshments next door. And heal those that are down this morning, Lord, that are sick. And pray that you would raise them back up. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Meet our need today. Lord, guide, grant. And Lord, just give us a glimpse of glory today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.